And we believe in Jesus Christ, right? We believe he's the Son of God. We put our hope and our trust and our faith in him, right? Okay. Well, how much do you trust? I mean, do you really trust? Do you measure that? Do you see whether you're putting your trust in God or not? And there's a little thing that when we've gone away with groups, we do this little thing to help teach us about trust. And we're going to do it this morning. Can I have those men? I think there's six of you. Come on up here. And Greg, come on up here, would you? Where's Greg? Is he hiding out? Oh, there he is. Okay, you come down here. Yeah. The men down here. And Greg's going to come up here. And this is kind of an exercise that we do. Come on over here. And now, you guys are not in good position, so I'm going to position you, because what we're going to have him do is stand here, and he's going to fall back without any fear, because you're going to catch him. Hopefully. You're not going to play any tricks on him, are you? Okay, so let's line up. I need another one here. Mike, come on up here. Yeah.
We're in trouble now.
Yeah, we're... Oh. Son-in-law. Okay, so what I want you to do... I want you to get close together and kind of line up. Turn around, Greg. You know, I want you to watch it. Now what I want you to do, though, is reach your hands out and grab each other's arms. Yeah, just like that. Okay, and can you go down a little bit? Just go down just a little bit. Okay, now all I want you to do, guys, please don't drop them. It will ruin my sermon. All right? Okay, so have you been working out with weights?
I just got fat.
Wow. So you do this to see, okay, how much do you trust or are you fearful? Okay, are you ready? Okay, now all I want you to do is to relax and fall back. Beautiful. Okay, put it back up here. Hey, Mike, that was too easy. Go get a chair, would you? Go grab a chair. That was too easy. All right. Hey, you guys can go be seated. Go be seated. Grab a chair, Mike.
This wasn't part of it. Sorry, Greg, I didn't know.
Okay, all right, now, can you stand on that chair without falling? Okay. Okay, be careful. Okay, just saying. Adriana, come here, hon. Yeah, come here, no. Haley, come here. Come here, Rook, come on. Come on. Come on, Adriana, yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay, come on up here. All right.
You just need to go. You
okay.
Want me to?
Like, all right, now, yeah, turn this way. Okay. Now grab your arms.
Okay.
Okay, about like that.
No.
Okay, let's. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you can go. Take the chair. Take the chair, would you? Yeah. Big chicken. No, I definitely wouldn't do it. But he did it with the men because he figured that they could handle it, and you did really good. He just relaxed. He actually stiffened his body. I don't know if you saw him, but he went down his legs straight out like this. But he didn't trust you girls. Did you trust yourselves? No, not at all. Now, it's interesting because he knew that he could trust those guys, but he wasn't going to trust the girls. You see, when we talk about faith in Jesus Christ, there's a trust issue. And you need to learn to trust him, to put your faith in him and your hope in him. And it's something that, by the Word of God and by experience, that you learn to do that. Life is not so easy. There's a lot of difficulty to it. Life is not a bed of roses when you get saved. In fact, let me tell you, if you think you get saved and then everything should go right, no. Let me tell you the truth of the matter. It's the beginning of real problems for you. Now, doesn't that sound strange from a pastor? Who say, hey, you become a Christian, that's the beginning of the real problems for you. Let me tell you one reason why I say that is because there's an enemy of our soul that wants to kill and destroy. And if you're not in him, in Jesus Christ, that means you're in the enemy of our soul, Satan, the devil. That means you're living and serving him. Now, you might, if you don't know Jesus Christ, it might not seem like that, but let me tell you, you are. And he's not going to bother you. He's happy with you right where you are without God. But you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to fight you. He's going to try to mess you up. He's going to try to bring you to a place to where you will remove yourself from any kind of service to God, any love toward God. He doesn't want you to be in a place to where you're going to touch other people for Christ's sake, and so he's going to war against you. And that's what happens. And it's going to happen throughout your whole life. But can I tell you, that might seem like a downer to some. My whole life, this battle is going to go on. A fight is going to take place. I don't know if I want to join. Now, let me tell you, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there have been testimonies that I've heard my whole life, that I've read about my whole life, people who have been beaten and bruised, people who were dying, being burned to death, and rejoiced that they could give their life to Jesus Christ. There is nothing like serving Jesus. There's nothing like loving Jesus. There's nothing like giving our life to Jesus Christ. Because he does something inside of us that can bring a peace and a comfort and a joy that's beyond anything you can experience any other way except being right in his will and purpose. I want to share a little bit this morning about the good fight. And those of you that were here Tuesday night, you'll say, hey, he's cheating. He's preaching the same sermon twice. I've never done it before, but I'm going to do it now. Not because I didn't have time, because I did. So why am I doing this? I don't know. No, someone said I should, and I thought, you know, I really should talk about this. Because right here today, there's such a difference of people where they are in their faith, in their walk with God. There's a difference. Even you have great faith in God, but at this moment, at this time, you're being bombarded, so to speak. Or maybe just the weight of life is on your shoulders and you feel the weightiness and you're tired and you wish that you weren't even here today. There's others who have more of a bounce to their step, but they've been where you've been. They've had that bubbliness now, but they've been where you are, where the weight of life seems to be pressing in. Where mentally and emotionally and psychologically, it's like you're being attacked and you're depressed maybe, or you're down and out. You're even wondering, where's God? God, I need you. What's going on? What's up with all this? God, help me. I don't like this. God, restore me. God, do a miracle here. And we're all in places like that from time to time. And so there's a whole different type of people that are here this morning. And just because someone might have a smile on their face, don't think that they're not down or they're not struggling. And maybe even struggling in their faith, or I say their trust in God. Because the bottom line, that is the bottom line. Trusting in God doesn't mean that you won't have hardships. No, just the opposite. You trust God, he's going to work in your life. He's going to do things in your life. He'll never do anything to harm you. But sometimes he'll do things to hurt you, and I need to qualify that. Because God doesn't just do things to hurt you. There was two couples that I know. This has been 40 years ago. And one couple, the husband got hurt at work. And the other couple, the wife said to the wife of the husband that got hurt, she said, well, you know, he needs to surrender his life, and that's why he got hurt. Now, does that bother you? Well, it bothered this wife, I'll tell you that right now. And about 2 years later, the wife that said that to the wife that got hurt on the job, her husband was doing some work on a ladder, fell off the ladder, and broke both of his legs. She found out about it. The gal whose husband had got hurt on the job, she found out about the broken leg. She called the other woman. And she said, Do you know, I wonder what your husband's been doing wrong that he broke both legs. You know, it's amazing that Christians can be that way. It's amazing that we say such things. God never does anything just to harm you or to hurt you. But it's kind of like a surgeon. It's kind of a rare thing, I think. It's kind of a rare thing. You know, someone who breaks their leg, but it's not broken. It's messed up in such a way that they go in, they have to hurt the person to either reset it, and it's very painful, I've heard, or they have to break something to get things to fit into place right. And that doctor hurts that person in doing what they're doing, but it's not harming the person, but actually bringing a healing so that that leg can heal properly. And that's what God does. He doesn't, let me tell you, I don't believe this at all, that he does things, you messed up, okay, I'm going to get you. God's not like that. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that he loves you so much? Do you realize that he loves you so much that he gave his son? And he harmed his son so that you would never be harmed for eternity. He gave his life, Jesus gave his life for us so that we could live for eternity in Jesus Christ. So I don't believe, and when God looks at us, you know, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he works it out. I mean, only God, I guess, could figure this out. But he helps you in your problems and difficulties and in your weaknesses. But when he looks at you, you're white as snow. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. His son, who is like a roaring lion, the king of the jungle, came like a lamb for sinners slain. And God, in his love toward us, in his care toward us, he's reaching down to help us. Now let's look at a couple scriptures here. I won't read that whole thing. In fact, let me skip down in Galatians 2, verse 20. A scripture that is so well known. And it says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I mean, kind of a weird thing. I'm crucified, yet I live. I'm crucified, or I'm dead. Now I'm alive, but I'm alive in Christ, and there's something different that takes place. And the purpose of that is we're no longer alive to the law, because we can't live the law. And let me tell you, Christians, if you ever try to please God by the law, by doing good, by by living a good life and feel like you should get something from God. You have placed yourself in a place, and now you deserve him to do something. You need to repent of that righteousness. You need to turn from your wicked way. Because there is no place in relationship with God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in this relationship, we bask in him and we worship him because I am crucified. I am dead now to the law, but alive unto Jesus Christ, and I'm living in him. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now listen to this. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live in the flesh. And so what he's saying is, hey, you still have this body, and you still have this flesh. You still have things in your life that you're going to fail, that's going to make you weak, and that you're going to sin. How many has sinned this last year? Let me see. Okay, look around and see who doesn't have their hand up. No, I'm kidding. No, we've all sinned. We're sinners. We're still sinners. And our life is in Jesus Christ, not on the law. I'm dead to the law. Our life is in Jesus Christ, and that's why we have salvation, not because of our works, but because of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul understood this, and he understood that in his life, there was still this flesh. You can read Romans and Galatians and several of the epistles that Paul deals with the church. In fact, you go back a few verses, Paul even withstood Peter and James and all those Jews who were saying, hey, those Gentiles, which are you and I, those Gentiles, they need to start doing the law. And Paul said, wait a minute, you can't come to Jesus Christ through the law. You can't live the law to be part of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that saves us. It's only in him. And then something happens inside of us. We want to love God. There's something inside that one time in your life you didn't care about God, but now you care about God. You didn't think about God, you didn't love God, but now you do. Now there's something inside of you that brought you here this morning that maybe you didn't even want to be here, but it brought you here. Something that says, hey, I need to go to church. There's something that's drawing you, and that's God. There's something of life that is in God. Paul knew that there was a flesh that he had to deal with, but that he was in Jesus Christ. And in these scriptures, you can see the trouble that he finds himself in. Paul, who is an incredible man of faith, well, let me tell you, those who say, well, if you just really trust God and really have faith in God, you're not going to have problems. That's a lie. And you don't have to feel guilty because you're having problems and maybe you don't have faith enough. No, you're going to have problems. No matter how big or great or gigantic your faith is, there's going to be things that's going to come upon you because, see, you're in the flesh. You're in this body. One day you'll get a new body. One day you'll be with him, but that hasn't happened. You have to deal with this body, this flesh. And in Christ, in the Spirit, you're with God. In the flesh, though, sin is still attacking you. Oh, you might be done with sin, but sin is not done with you. You know what I'm saying? You might be done with sin. And what I mean by that, you might not want to. You might not be, you might fight against it. You might try to discipline yourself. But sin is always going to be attacking you because you're in this flesh. So Paul, who I believe is the greatest of Christians. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. Oh, he went through some problems. Now, a person might think and really not realize, no. He went through incredible problems. It wasn't a light affliction. It wasn't an easy thing. But listen to what he says. Brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Do you realize the weight of that? The weight was so strong on Paul. We're talking about Paul, a man of faith. Paul, the guy who wrote all these epistles, this total man of God who trusted and had faith in God. He said the weight was so strong that we didn't even want to live. That's how powerful the weight was on him. We even despaired of life itself. We felt that we received the sentence of death. But that was to make us realize, to rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So in his desperation, where he wished or he desired, he really didn't even want to live, he still some way, in this heaviness, in this weight, had his faith in Jesus and his eyes on Jesus. And that's who he leaned to. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises us from the dead. Those things that he went through caused him to lean into Jesus. Now think about that, the weight of it. Think about it, and maybe you're here and you feel a weight. You feel a depression. Now listen, don't feel that you're a weak Christian. Well, I take that back. You are a weak Christian. But we all are. And he's going to talk about that. We're all weak. Are you kidding me? The hypocrites are the ones who pretend they're not hurting. Well, I'm fine. Oh, I'll tell you a story. My wife and I, we went together when she was 12 and I was 13. And then we got married at 18 and 19, been married 51 years last month. Yeah, long time. And in our teens, though, I was a bad guy, controlling and blah, blah, blah. One time, Pam's mother, a dear lady, woman of God, she said, Pam, I don't like how he's treating you. Wants you to break up with him. Oh, she was a mean lady. No, woman of God. And so Pam was irritated at the time, and so she broke up with me. I'll never forget in the church after she broke up with me. I'll never forget because I was full of pride. Full of pride. I went around, I'm free. I'm free. Oh, I'm free indeed. And then when no one was around, I'm serious. I cried like a baby. She abused me. And she did that. She did, and as we're going together, three or four times. And that's why she has the upper hand in our marriage. Yes, dear. Why did I tell you that? Who knows? Anyway, we're talking about this trust. Paul went through this thing. Oh, I know what it was. You're weak. We're all weak as Christians, and the Bible tells us about that. Don't put on a facade like you're something that you're not. If you're hurting, that doesn't mean that you come in and whine and complain. I'm not saying that. But you tell somebody, Let someone help you and pray with you and be part of your life. Don't put on like I did. Don't have that pride like I did. 2 Corinthians 4. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body, our mortal flesh. So he says, we're going through things, so the life of Jesus will be made more powerful in us or clearer in us, in our mortal flesh. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our outer self is wasting away. And sometimes when you get depressed, when you get discouraged, when the weight and the burden of life is on you in a special way, I mean, you're going through something really hard, it just feels like you're wasting away. But God wants to do something in the inner man where he begins to renew himself in you and strengthen you. 2 Corinthians 12, the last verse there. Let's look at that one. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's why I said we're weak. We're not as good as we think we are. And God will show you sometime when he has you go through some of the things you're going to go through. You're not as strong as you think you are. It wouldn't take much for God to just sweep us off our feet and just knock us down. And we'll look at ourselves and we'll say, what happened to me? I thought I was this wonderful Christian. I thought I was this great guy. No, all of us are weak. But you see the beauty of this, that in your weakness, God gets glorified. Because he comes in and he does something in your life and he renews something in your soul. He does something incredible in your life, and only God can do that. And I don't know, some aren't going to like what I'm going to say right now. And even in your failure and in your sin of weakness, God will come and show his strength, his mercy, and his compassion, and his love. The Word of God says, while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. That doesn't mean that everything has changed. I'm still a sinner. I'm growing in the Lord. He's becoming stronger in me. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, it says, if you abide in Christ, you won't sin. That's the King James. The meaning is you won't continue in sin. But you'll still have sin. Because in the first part of 1 John, it says, if you say you have no sin, the truth is not in you. You're a liar. Because we've all sinned. We all have sin in us. We're weak. And that's why we have to rely on the grace of God and the mercy of God. And he strengthens us and he helps us to become overcomers. And we have times of victory in our lives. But there's some times that it just seems to overwhelm you. It seems to get its hold on you. But God does things, amazing things to comfort us. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about the comfort of God. In the first chapter, how he comforts us. How he's a God who loves us and reaches down to us. And he has his arms open to us. But listen to what Paul says. in 2 Corinthians 7. For even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn. Man, we were messed up, afflicted, harassed. There were things that were happening. We were being abused. We were being stoned. It seemed like everywhere we went, everything that we did, was there was everyone against us. Fightings on every side, harassments on every side. For we're afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast. There's sometimes that you get down. Sometimes you're discouraged. Sometimes even despair, even to the point you wish you weren't alive. This is what happens to us. It's part of what life is. This is a broken world, a broken life. But God loves us. And he says, fightings without, fear within, but God, who comforts the downcast. Listen to this. Comforted us by the coming of Titus. Oh, wait a minute. This should add a whole new degree for us. This should open a window for us and a door for us of understanding. God used Titus. God used people. God uses you and God uses me. You don't have to be anyone special, as you view yourself, you are special, but you might not view yourself special. But let me tell you, God can use you. You know, in the Bible, it talks over in the New Testament, over and over and over in the epistles, one another, encourage one another, speak to one another, love one another, care for one another, one another, one another, one another. Because God knows this. We need people with skin. We need people around us. And when you read the life of Paul, he's writing these things to people who are wondering about him. The church at Corinth, there are people who had come in who were what they would call the people of concision. They were the ones who had said, hey, you have to live the law to be a Christian. And Paul fought against that. And so they said, well, you're not a true apostle. He wasn't around when Jesus walked. He didn't know about Jesus then. It was later on that he came. He wasn't a true apostle. And they came in and began to turn some minds. And he's broken in 2 Peter. But you know what he does? He's not a guy full of pride. God is dealing with him about that. But he's not a guy full of pride. He makes himself vulnerable. He tells him where he is. And his struggles. He tells him how he's been down and out. But God, always going back to God. But God, but God, but God. And in one case, God comforted him and helped him in his desperation using someone with skin, Titus. And we need each other. Do you realize that? We need each other. I felt so bad. Tuesday as I was speaking, and you know Gerald down here? Yeah, I'm going to put him on the spot again. Doggone, I didn't ask him if I could do this, but he said I could call him anything. Did you tell me that? Okay. And so I was calling him Harold. Harold until fine, Kent said, it's Gerald. And I felt so bad. And then I couldn't figure out, who the heck is Harold? We don't have a Harold in the church, do we? And I went home that night, and I said, Pam, who's Harold? And she named a bunch of people that we knew that was Harold. No, that's not it. Well, it's a guy at Starbucks that we visit with a couple times a week. His name's Harold, and a great guy. But Gerald wasn't offended by that. I you know, I tell you these stories and then I forget why I even tell you these things. Is that old age or is it just, oh, the devil? We need each other. Hey, Gerald, I need you. I was so happy, and I'm serious about this. He called me, was it yesterday? He called me yesterday. He said, Pastor Dave, could you give me a ride? And it just made me happy that I could go pick him up. And I was thrilled about that. I need Harold, Gerald. Oh, boy. Carrie's my daughter, so obviously I need her, but I need you. Oh, you know that, huh? You know I need you. Hey, Ange, I need you. Did you say thanks? Adriana, I need you. And thanks for helping this morning. Elizabeth, I need you. Buffy, I need you. That's a great name, Buffy. I don't know where her real name is. I get them mixed up. What's you and your sister's name? Marissa and Melissa. Buffy. All right. Hey, I need you, hon. And you're fairly new, and you don't even realize that, do you? You think that I'm such a hot pastor. Oh, boy. You guys, we need each other. You know, I know some of you don't believe this, but you need me. Oh, thank you. Who said you're right? Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. We're on the same team. And we're fighting the same fight, or we should be, against the enemy of our soul. And we have a faith and a trust in God, and we're looking to Him. But sometimes we hit a wall. And we need not only God to come and to touch our lives, but we need people. Jason, come on up. I wonder, do you realize how much you need people? Be honest with me. Now, be honest with me. Don't respond yet. I'm going to have you respond by a raise of hands. And it's not going to be everybody here because not everybody is in a place. No, I'm not going to do it that way. Are you ready, Jay? You're just about. Okay. I believe. Sing I Believe. You know that last song? Okay? All right. I want you to stand. Go ahead. Stand. Who would be honest to say that you're weak right now and you need help? Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. So we can't cover all that. And so we're gonna help each other. I want you all that raise your hand, just come down here. Just come right down in front. And I so appreciate it. Pam, you don't have to stand. Pam, sit down. Her feet are messed up today, and she's in pain. Oh, that felt so good to tell her what to do. Wow. Yeah, come on this way. Yeah, Casey, yeah. There we go. Good. Yeah. Is Karen still here? Where is she? Karen, are you here? Okay. I'm going to pray for Karen. Karen, I love you. How you doing? Okay. Karen has been a drug addict for years. And once desperately got to set her free. And wouldn't you like to see that? Okay, let's sing this song as we look to Jesus this morning. Other too. And so would you touch someone in an appropriate place? Thank you very much. Oh Father, how loving you are. How caring you are. That you, being spirit, had your dear son, who is spirit, become flesh. And beaten and bruised. The lion becoming a lamb. And gave his life so that we can have life. So that one day we can stand around heaven and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But until that day, we know there's going to be struggles. We know there's going to be things in our life that we need to hope in you and trust in you. And that we need people around us. Help us, Lord, not to be full of pride, but help us to lay down that pride into humility. And to love each other and to say, God, I need you. Friend, I need someone to stand beside me. And so we pray by your Holy Spirit, those that are just struggling in their spirit, struggling in their flesh maybe, struggling, God, inside, and they're in turmoil, that you would come and touch them. Come and make yourself real to them by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we sing this one more time? One more time. Okay. And it would be okay, as Jason sang it, if you don't want to sing it, just hug a couple people. But let's sing this. Go for it. Nathan, I need you, buddy. Alexis, I need you. Ray, there's two of them. I need you. I love you guys, and I thank you for your love. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.